morning we continue in our Gemara, Bava Kama, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and we're going to review. Now, I'm sorry that not everybody got the notes, so we'll just review this again, and then Mirza Shem, everyone should get the notes. So to review yesterday's class, we discussed that there are four Avos Nezikin. There are four fathers of the Nezikin. Okay, can somebody tell us what they are?
Shor.
Okay. Shor, and try to do the order the way the Mishnah put them. Shor. Boy, this is a terrible
Bor.
It's easy.
Bor. Bor.
Shor.
Bor.
Bor.
Mave.
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 And Be'er.
And Hever.
Hever.
Okay. Do we know for sure what Shor is?
No.
Are we clear on it? No, it's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Okay? But we know it has to do with an ox. The question is, how much of an ox does it have to deal with? What's a bore?
A pit.
A pit. Someone digs a pit, someone falls into it. Mavet, we're also not sure. Either it's one of the damages of the shore, or it is a human being who damages. And Hever is?
Hever is fire.
Fire. Those are the four. Why are these four mentioned in the Mishnah as an Av? What does it have to be an Av? What does it have to be? The criteria is?
Written in the Torah.
Written in the Torah. So these are the four Avot. They're written in the Torah. Okay, now the fact that the Torah is telling us that there are four, seems to be saying there's not more. The Mishnah is saying there's four, not more. We'll see if that's indeed agreeable to everybody. Okay, the fact that the Torah says that there are avot. Avot means a primary one. What is that implying?
Toldos.
That there are toldos. These are terms you got to remember. Toldos. Toldos means offshoots, derivatives from the word a child that are secondary, that are included within these broader categories. Okay, now, the Torah now has mentioned four types of damages, that when your property damages, you're responsible to pay. So the Mishnah dealt with the question, let's just say one of them. And if I say one of the four, then I'll be able to deduce the others. I don't have to have four examples. One example is enough. So the Mishnah said, so let's say we have shor. What if we only mention shor and ox? The Mishnah says we cannot learn what?
Mavet.
Cannot learn mavet. Okay, and we're not sure what mava means, but we couldn't learn it. Because shor has a certain strictness that if it says shor, I wouldn't be able to deduce mava from it. Gemara's going to learn what it is, and I appreciate that, you know, we're not giving you clarity to remember it, but just saying shor wouldn't be enough, because it has a certain strictness. And then the Gemara says, well, what if you would have said mava? Also, you cannot learn from that shor. Okay, so now what if we have shor and mavet together? Then you can't learn what?
Aveir.
Which one?
Aveir. Eish.
Okay, fire. Mavet. Sorry, heaven. Or we'll just say fire. Can't learn fire from it. Now there, the Mishnah said the reason why. Because what is shor? How is shor and mavet unique?
They're alive.
Because they're alive. They're alive. Since they're alive, obviously that's something we'd make you more responsible. If I would just write, shor, an ox, whichever way it damages, mavet, whatever that means, it's either a human or it's an animal, whatever, it's an animal damage. If I would write those two animal damages, and I would not write a fire, would I necessarily deduce that I'm obliged if my fire damages that you'd be responsible? No. Why? Because you say, well, an animal's alive. It's alive. You gotta watch it. And you didn't watch it. Remember, what's the reason to make you obliged to pay for your property? Because you had negligence. Right? It's negligence. What was negligence? You got an ox. An ox is alive. It's a potential damager. You can't just sit back and do nothing about it. On the other hand, a fire, well, what do you want to do for a fire? Fire's sitting over here. It's not alive. So there I couldn't deduce fire from that. Okay? Now, the Mishnah does not discuss, well then just say fire, and we can deduce the other two from fire. Doesn't discuss that question, which we'll leave for now. Maybe another time we'll answer. But that's an issue. Now, what if we have all three? Shor, Mave, and fire. Will we be able to learn pit?
No.
Can't learn more either. Why not? What do those three have in common that this does not have in common?
It's active in the other.
They move. They move. An animal moves, a fire moves when the wind blows, but a pit doesn't move. Since a pit doesn't move, I wouldn't be able to learn a pit from that. So therefore, we need all four. Now again, what is left to be, the Mishnah does not explain, which would need to be explained, we're not going to do it now, what needs to be explained is, well, what if I wrote fire? Couldn't I learn the other two from fire? Because fire is less strict, because it doesn't move, it's not alive. There's got to be a reason how we can't learn the other two, because if we can't learn fire from this, because they're alive, that means there's more of a reason you pay. So then why didn't the Mishnah say, okay, so let's learn, let's just write fire, and we'll learn these two, because if fire is chayiv, then for sure the other two that are alive should be chayiv. So there's got to be something inherently strict about this, that we can't learn the others from that, but the Mishnah doesn't go there right now. The commentaries go there. Same thing, we can't learn pit from these three, so then let's just write down pit, and once I write pit, I know the other three. So there's got to be something unique about a pit that we couldn't learn from that. So we'll leave that for now, let you think about it, and maybe one day we'll give you the reasons why. But Kitzer, in brief, the Torah had to write all four, because if you write any one, each one must have some type of stringency that the other doesn't have, and we couldn't learn the other three from that. But now that we have four, is there something we can learn from all four? And the answer is, yes, they have a common denominator. What do all four have a common denominator? Their nature is to damage, and you are obliged to guard them. That's the common denominator. All four are potential hazards. That we can say. And a potential hazard, you have to do what you can to guard people from it. And if you don't, the Torah says, what's the law?
You pay.
You have to pay. But how do you pay? Well, obviously the best payment is money, but what if you're going to pay with landed property that you have? The Torah says you have to pay the best, and the word for that is meitav, you pay the best. So that's what this mission is all about. Okay, now, there's one question we're going to look at, there's a Rashi we have to do that we didn't do yesterday, and it's a very simple question that we have. If you look at, before we look at the Rashi, look at the board for a minute. Okay. Look at the board. Now look at the order. The order that they listed was Shor, Bor, Mava, Hever. Okay? I'm not expecting everybody to memorize these terms today, but by the end of the week over Shabbos, you gotta know what these terms mean in English. You just have to know them, because these are the bread and butter words for the whole Masechta. So it's going to be a vocabulary list of about 7-8 words you just got to learn by the end of the week. So why did the Mishnah list this four in this order? Because that's the order the way they're written in the Torah. Okay, fine. You have to find some order to pick the word. If you look in the Torah, you'll see this is first, this is second, this is third, this is fourth. Fine. So now, when the Mishnah analyzes it, why didn't the Mishnah said the following? If I write Shor, I can't learn out Mave from Shor, right? If I only wrote Shor, I wouldn't be able to learn Mave, right? So now, right away, a question should be jumping at.
Why does it only list Mave?
Wait a minute. Well, let's go next. If I only would have mentioned Mave, I couldn't learn Shor. So look here. If I mentioned Shor, I couldn't learn Mave. If I mentioned Mave, I couldn't learn Shor. Now, if I have both of these, Shor and Mave, I can't learn out the pit.
Hever.
I'm sorry, Hever. Can't learn out fire, right? Now, if I have all three of these, then I can't learn out the pit. Now, there should be a question jumping out at you.
Why did the Torah list it in that order?
Well, the Torah list that order, that's the way God wanted it to. That we don't ask questions. But I can ask a question on the author of the Mishnah on his style.
Right.
what question will be asked. The question that's bothering Rashi is, wait a minute, this is the order. So to me, it would make sense to say, just say sure, and I don't need bore. Why didn't it say, if I just write sure, I couldn't learn bore? Because that's the very next one. Why is it saying if I have sure, I can't learn mabe? Well, why did we skip bore?
Because something specific.
We skipped bore. We're going to get back to it. It's not like we're leaving it out. We're going to get back to it over here. And if I have mava, I don't have shore. Well, why are we skipping four? If the author felt it necessary to write the four in the order the way the Torah wrote them, so then let's deal with them in the analysis in the order that the Torah wrote them. And if I was writing the Mishnah, I would say, what's the first thing said in the Torah? Shore. Okay, that's the first one. So the question really is, just say sure and forget about writing the rest. We can learn the rest from sure. So what would be the logical sequence the Mishnah should have used? Well, it should say, okay, I have sure, why do I need bore? So the Mishnah should have said, if I have sure, I couldn't learn bore from sure. And if I only had bore, I couldn't learn sure from bore. Does the Mishnah say that? No. Why isn't the Mishnah analyzing the four in the order that the way the Torah wrote them, and that's the way the Mishnah wrote them to begin with? You follow? If the author felt it necessary to write it in this specific order, why? Because this is the order that the Torah wrote them. You look at the open up a chumash, you see the idea of an ox damaging. Okay. Then you go further to the Torah, you see a pit damages. Then you have a mava, whatever a mava is. But it damages. Then the Torah writes fire. Now the Mishnah has a whole question. Why do I need all four? Just say one, and I don't need the rest. The Gemara's going to answer, no, because one's more strict. I can't learn from the rest. Good, that's going to be fine. But in the analysis, do the analysis in the order the way the items are listed. It should say that a bore is not like shore, so we can't learn it out. And a shore is not like bore. We can't learn each other out. Okay, so I have two in the order. Well, why do I need a third one? I say, well, I can't learn the third one out from these two. Okay, once I got all three, then I'll say, okay, why can't we just write all three and not fire? Wouldn't that be a much more logical way of presenting this in the Mishnah? Mm-hmm. You with me? I see some glazed eyes.
Maybe Shor and Mava.
Let's not go to the answer. I still think half the people don't get the question. I still think half the people don't get the question. If you don't get the question, the answer is no importance. Right? If this is the, why did we write these four in this order? Because when you open up your Chumash, this is number one, this is number two, this is number three, this is number four. Okay, we're gonna write them in the order they're in the Torah. Okay, that makes sense. But now what's the question bothering the Mishnah? Well, just say one of them and I could learn the rest from them. That was the underlying question, right? So now if you're analyzing this way, so let's analyze it based on the way the list was written. So let's just say, okay, well then let's just write sure, and now I wouldn't have to write bore. And if you're going to say, well, no, because sure is stricter than bore, okay, let's write bore and learn sure. No, I can't because that has a strictness that that doesn't have. Wouldn't that be a logical way to present it? And then once you present it, okay, I need these two. Why do I need this one? Well, these two have a strictness that this wasn't have. Okay, now I got all three. Why do I need this one? Because all these two have a strictness that this doesn't have. And wouldn't that have been a very nice sequential way of analyzing all four in the exact order the way the Torah presented them?
Most inclusive to least inclusive.
Well, let's put it this way. Let's follow the order. The question is, why write so many? So let's attack one at a time. The second one. You got to write one first. It's got to be something. Well, let's look at the order. The Torah wrote, sure, first. Good. Fine. So the question would be, write this, let's forget about the rest. What's the rest? This is the very next one. Write this and not this. Well, I have to have this. Okay, so write this and not this. No, we have to have them both. Good. Write these and don't write this. No, I have to have this too. Okay, write these. But that's not the order. It says like this. Write sure, but I can't learn mine. See how it's skipping? It says, okay, right Marev. Well, I'm going to have to, I need ox. We totally skipped the pit.
Yeah.
Right? And then we got, okay, how about these two? And we're going to then learn fire, the fourth one. He said, no, we can't do that. And then we finally come to the pit. So why are we going in the reverse, not in a sequential order?
Do you hear the question?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's you give the question, but there's...
You don't need to know the answers. You know what the problem is when we guys are learning? You're trying to be smart. Don't be smart. Get the question clear. Don't worry about the answer. Problem is you're worrying about the answer in the middle of the question, and then you're not getting the full question, and then you don't know anything. When we're trying to understand a question, just try to understand the question. Then, when you really got the question... Now, even if we don't know the answer, at least you have a question that's better than a half a question and a half an answer. So you get the question solved, then, you know, you can go to sleep without an answer. But you go to sleep without even knowing the question, that's bad news.
So, what's the answer? Why aren't they...
So that now, if you really appreciate the question, then you appreciate where Rashi's going to write what he's going to write.
Yeah, Rashi's going to tell you the answer.
Rashi's going to now tell you why it's not done in that order. Okay, that's the value of Rashi. Because Rashi only writes... when there's something you don't understand in the text.
Or something's bothering.
Rashi's not going to just write things just to fill the page. But when he's addressing the critical questions. Everybody's got the critical question here? Mm-hmm. Why is the analysis of why we have to keep writing the other ones not in the order the way the Mishnah is written? So now we look at the Rashi, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the top. Lo hare hashor kare hamave. So, first of all, Rashi has to explain. It's very hard words. We don't even understand what the words mean. So first, Rashi, because the words alone don't make a lot of sense. So Rashi has to first explain the words. He says, Klomar means to say, I'm going to tell you what the words mean. Ikasav Rachman Ashor, if the Torah only wrote Acts, Lo Nafik Mava Mine, we couldn't learn Mava, whatever it means, we couldn't learn it from it. For Umtilahachi Yisrichel Mechel, because of that, we have to write both of them. Now he's telling you what the words mean, what the line meant. If you just look at the words, I don't understand what the words mean. So Rashi said, let me tell you what the line... So Rashi's saying, this is what the line means. If I only wrote ox, I wouldn't know mafe. Fine. So now, Rashi, assuming you know the question that we just asked, Rashi is written for people who learn the text with a critical eye. And he figures everybody who's been learning this Mishnah, his question is bothering them to no end. So Rashi doesn't ask the question. Rashi starts with the answer. Okay? So, therefore, a lot of times you read Rashi, what do I need Rashi for? What's he talking a cup over here? Because he never thought of the question. All right? That's, he can't let anything go by so simply. So Rashi already is giving you the answer. And thank God, we have the question. So he's saying, Ulahachi, and therefore, Nokat Bereisha, it shows as the first analysis... Kehare hamava, like the strictness of mave. It jumped to the number 3, mave. Velo nakidla, and didn't grab it, keseder, in the normal order of the way they were presented by saying, lo hare hashor, kehare bor, that shore is not like bor. It didn't do that. Why? You want to know why? Here comes the answer. There's two answers. Let's just see if we get the first one. Mishum desukas, if he did that, Lavimatsi lemista, we couldn't do the next part. The next part of lozevize, and not this and this, sheish bem ruach achaim, that they have life. The habor aimbo ruach achaim, because boar does not have any life. In other words, Rashi is saying that the author of the Mishnah wanted to, remember, the Mishnahs were written in the least amount of words possible. A very efficient, crisp text. So, when you're trying to write, when the Mishnah is trying to explain why we need all four, we're trying to use as least amount of sentences as possible. So, if we skip and go this to this, it'll make us very efficient in the continued analysis. Why? Because if I say that this is not like this, so I need these two. So now I take these two and I figure, okay, well, why couldn't I learn fire from this? Well, now, since I've analyzed these two together, when I try to learn this one from these two, I have a very efficient answer. Well, we can't learn fire from these two, because these two, what? They do what? They are alive. Now, I can only say that for those two, for these two. I couldn't say this about a pit, because a pit is not alive. In other words, if I say, well, why do we learn this from this and this from this? Well, we can't learn it. But then when I want to say, why can't I learn this from this? I don't have a uniquely common bond between these two to exclude this from this with just one line. I'd have to use many different, I'd have to say how this can't be learned from this, and this can't be learned from that, and then I gotta write many more lines to explain why I can't learn it from it. So we're trying to write the least amount. So when I bunch them differently, now it becomes easy to show why the third isn't learned from the two. I can just use one line. Instead of having to use two reasons why I can't learn. I can't learn this because this is different than that. I can't learn this because it's different than that. And each one's going to need to analyze why I can't learn it. I have to have one reason for one reason for another, one reason for another. And it's going to make the Mishnah very long. So I'm trying to make very crisp, short, distilled differences. If I analyze one and three, I agree it's not in the order of the Torah. Once I analyze one and three, and I can't learn them from off, but when I wonder why can't I learn the third, it's very simple. There's a commonality between here that they are alive. That's enough to exclude this from both of them. And now once I've got these three, then I could say, why don't I learn this? Because I got very commonality what? That they move. And now I have how the one is going to be. But if I would have gone in this order, the differences would have taken much more time to explain the differences. This one's not like this because this is this. This, well, no. This is different because of another reason. And this is different for another reason. So if I would have gone in this order, by the time I came to here, if I went in this order, I'd have to give different reasons for more than one reason. I said, for more than one reason, I have to write more words and more explanations. We try to keep it as crisp as possible, and we go out of order. See how we easily did it with only having to do four lines. If we would have gone in a straight order, probably taken 7 or 8 lines. And that would have taken much more time to analyze.
So the answer is because we want the Mishnah to be as short as possible.
To give the shortest amount of reasons, the shortest amount of reasons to show how you can't learn one from the other.
So is that in general for all Mishnahs?
Mishnahs were written cryptically. Because remember, they weren't written down, they were learned by heart. They were never written down for hundreds of years. So okay, why do we need all four? Why can't we write? So I'll give you 4 simple answers, and that's enough to know I can't learn out. And at the end of the day, we have all 4. So why do I have to analyze it painfully, line by line, and say, well, this for this reason, this for this reason, this, I have to give 2 separate reasons, and this, I have to give 3 separate reasons. So many reasons why I can't learn out, let's try to keep it simple. Once I just analyze these two against each other, these are here, well, what about this? There's only one reason why. Because it's different than both of them that share a certain commonality of a strictness. Now, once I've got all 3, then I can knock this one off with just one reason as well. So that's the efficiency factor. Okay? You hear? Martin, good?
Yeah.
That was the first answer. The Ode time after meaning, he gives a second answer. The Harabus Ashmina, the way we do it in this order, it tells us an insight. She'afal gav she'eshu shneim ruach chaim. Even though these two are alive, guess what? Wait a minute. Now, when I'm analyzing that this one can't be learned from these two, because these two are alive, but still no, that makes these pretty similar now, doesn't it? But we still said, I can't learn this from this, I can't learn this from this. And he's saying that even though they are similar, the insight is, they're both alive, still you still can't learn one from the other. He's saying, even though they are very similar, because you couldn't learn the third one from them, but you still can't learn one from two. The Gemara is going to explain later what that lohare means. Right, that's the main Rashi that we need to do. The other ones are pretty straightforward. Okay, let's move on now to the Gemara. Okay, let's move on to the Gemara. Mishnah's clear. So when we start the Gemara, we're starting Sugya number 1. Sugya number 1 means the topic of with a central issue. Okay, remember, everything we learn, the way to memorize the Gemara better, and I'm going to be more particular at it this year, okay? I want you guys, by the end of the time, to know this whole chapter by heart. Not word for word, but at least the material. I mean, if you're learning it just to forget it, it's not much learning, is it?
But you'll see when I'm going to send you the notes, just review the notes for 3 minutes every day. You'll see, you'll be able to remember it. Okay? So now, the question is, we have to now, we're starting the next sugya number one, and what's going to be the central issue? So I'm going to tell you what the central issue is. The central issue is going to be, the Mishnah said that there are avos, primary damages, right? And now the implication is that there are toldos, secondary or subsumed offshoots. The question is going to be, and this is going to be the central issue, is do the toldos of damages have the same law as the avos or not? So let's just say, for example, well, one of the avos is goring. Karen. Goring. Okay, that's one of them. So let's say, I'm not going to say it so, well, what about if you're damaged by shoving?
Body check.
A body check. Well, that's not written in the Torah, right? So that would become a tolda. That would become an offshoot. You know, if I know goring is high, well, an offshoot, that would be shoving. Okay. Well, what's the law of goring? Well, law of goring has specific laws. We don't have to get into laws right now. You pay X. Well, let's ask, that's because the Torah says that. But what about the offshoots? Is the penalty the same or not? Is the law for an offshoot the same law as a primary? You're going to say, well, why not?
Well, there's
two. You're going to say, well, of course there should be.
No.
Well, what the Gemara is going to do is going to say, we're going to go through the Shas and show you examples not relating to damages, where you have primary and secondary. Sometimes the law is exactly the same.
Sometimes
the law is different. So we want to know over here, is the law the same or is the law different? So,
but logically, there should be a difference. Because if the Avos are written in the Torah, and the toldos are derivatives and not written in the Torah, you would think that there would be some basic difference between the two laws.
Not necessarily. The Torah doesn't have to write everything that every law that exists.
Right, but everything in the
doesn't mean
it's
to
not
say,
written in the Torah doesn't necessarily mean it has the same law as things that are written.
But it doesn't. But lav davka. Torah doesn't have to say everything, then the law can be the same. That's the issue. That's the issue on the table. The central issue is, you've told me four of the avos. Obviously, there's many, many more toldos out there. There's more than four ways that your property can damage. I'd say there's 50 ways. The Torah tells me, when we look in the Torah, in all four, it tells me exactly what you do. For example, you pay from the best land, for example. You pay from the best land. Well, that's if he gores. What if he body checks? Well, then maybe I don't pay from the best land. Is the law for the payment for the toldos that damage the same or not? That's the central issue. Clear? That's what we're going to talk about. So, what we're going to have to do, what the flow is going to be is, we're going to bring out the idea. We're going to show you different examples of toldos and avos. Some examples where they're similar. Some of them where they're different. And we're going to know what's the law over here. That's the next thing. So let's just begin. The Gemara. Gemara says, Midiktani avos, by the fact that the Mishnah wrote the word, there are avos, there are primary damages by Nezikin. Now, if the Gemara would have just said, there are four damages, if the Mishnah would have said, there are four damages, without the word avos, then we think it's four, that's it.
Four
damagers. Yeah. But it didn't say four damages. Look how every word the Gemara analyzes. There are four fathers of damagers. There's four primary damagers. Why do you have to add the word primary? Well, if there's a primary, that means there's secondary. Or if there's primary, there's offshoots. So Gemara already makes this analysis. Midiktani avos michlal, we can imply the ika toldos, that there are toldos, there are offshoots. So step one in the Gemara, now we have to now go through the steps of the Gemara. The central issue is, do the toldos have the same laws as the avos? Step one, we're going to call, the Gemara makes an inference. The Gemara makes an inference. What's the inference? An inference on the Mishnah. What's the inference?
If there's a sector.
If there are avos, since the Mishnah wrote there are fathers, there are avos, there must be toldos, there must be toldos. That's the first step of the Gemara's flow. There's an inference from the Mishnah. Without the inference, we have nothing to talk about. If this is important. Now when you're going to learn this Mishnah again, you're going to look, Arba Avos Nezikin. You're saying already, well, why did it write Avos? Just say Arba Nezikin. Because it wants to tell you, there's Avos, and there's Toldos. That's step one. That's an important step. Without that step, we have nothing to talk about. I guess, what if there are no Toldos? Then there's nothing to talk about. So we start with set point one, an inference. If there are Avos, there must be Toldos. Now that I have the inference, what becomes the logical next step of the Gemara? Think in your mind before we're going to say it. If I've now looked at that mission and say, there's Avos, and there's Toldos. So what's going to be the next thing that you would think, want to do in analyzing?
What's the difference?
What?
What's the difference?
So what's the difference? If there's one is one type of thing and one's a second category, is there a difference or not? Is there a difference? That leads us, you can put on your tongue. Go ahead. So now we come to the next point of the Gemara. Point number two. Gemara asks, Toldoseim, are there toldos? Are the offshoots, kiyotzevim, are they like the avos? Do they have the same law? If they'll damage, will they get punished the same way?
Or not?
Olav kiyotzevim, or will they not be punished? Will there be a different set of laws for the toldos? So that's point number two. We're going to call it, now we're going to try a little bit more refined. We're not going to write the word question, because there's different types of questions. I could ask a question to try to refute you. I can make a question of, I don't understand what's going on, there's a contradiction. Here, what kind of question will we call it? What kind of question is this? There's like seven different types of questions.
Inquiry.
Well, we could do, well, how would you want to work? Would you want to call it a question of information?
It's a question of definition. Really,
well, not definition. We have the definitions of and told us. We want to know, are the laws the same? So what are we missing? What are we looking for? I think we're looking for information. Are we not looking for information? I want to be informed. Does a tolda have the same law as an av or not? I don't know. I don't know anything. I'm trying to understand. I want to understand the law. So you can maybe word it. I've called it a question of information. That's why I called it. If you have a better term, I'm willing to change it. Well, clarify is only when something you said wasn't clear. It was clear. It's clear. There are avos and there are tolos. That's clear. Now my question is, what's the difference? So I need information. I think what I'm lacking now is information. Do they have the same law or not? That's what I want to know. So I would call this a question of information. Are the tolos like the avos or not? Good. That's the second point. It's already 7:54. So I think we'll stop here, and those guys will have to prepare for dialing. So now, did everybody fill out the emails?
I didn't. You don't.
Okay, you don't have to. But if anybody who didn't get it, just fill it out, and I will send it out immediately. So you'll all get it. So we're up to the second point in the Gemara. We have the inference and the question of information. Shkoyach, guys.
Thank you.
Excellent.
I gave you a different email. So maybe I'm trying to...
Eskowitzki@me.com.
That's your cloud. Yeah. I'm trying to put the stuff in the cloud because I get too much stuff at work and getting lost.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Yanni off for a song.
And so ends the shiur.